What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
We have a liftoff.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. And luckily for you, Old Dirty and the Blonde Tip Bomber. And Chris Santiago is in. Yes, I just got a video. We just got a video from Tyler Milner, who I think is wrapping up his time at Disney. It looked like a beer. Tyler's not normally a beer drinker. It looked like he had a beer out there, but he will be back soon, rolling with the Drive. But we do have Chris Santiago, who has been holding us down big time, as usual, with us today. So we appreciate you jumping in with us. Listen, 5 o'clock fire, as we're here live at Radio Row here in New Orleans. The big story of the day, and we've been talking about it throughout the day, and many of you have been commenting on it, is the hiring of Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator. We've talked about a lot of our thoughts, right? And I think there are people who have, really excited. There are people who are in the middle with the wait and see. And then there are people in the, I've seen multiple times. This is Bobby Slowick with a beard. Like, we've seen that that a lot. What though, I would say to the audience, and what you've known, if we've seen this, do you feel as the positive things that he brings to the table? What things, when you look at him and you're like, all right, the Texans got to fix this thing, and the reasons why people and the Texans who appear to be really, really high on Nick Caley, what's he bringing to the table that helps this group?
Well, look, I think he's a great fit for what D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio typically go after, which is a great coach, right? I mean, I think when it comes down to cleats in the turf, instructing and teaching and fundamentals and technique, I think he is probably, I don't know him, but I'm going to guess he is a very, very good football coach, which is underrated, by the way. We watch Bill O'Brien here with a bunch of his buddies around that you go to practice and hell ain't but one of them sweating. They ain't coaching, they ain't working, they're half-assing through it. That's not the case with D'Amico Ryans, and it's not the case with Nick Caserio. It's not the guys that they have in here. And I think he'll be a great fit from that perspective. I think when you look at the fit here of probably retaining a good bit of the offensive staff, I think he's a plug-and-play guy, replacement for Bobby Slowick. You look at the organization that he came out of, lastly being the L.A. Rams, which is McVay's system, there is definitely some some crossover there with the Shanahan Slowick system, if you want to call it that. I would imagine the terminology is very similar. So the offense, when you hire one of the guys that I would have liked to at least seen interviewed, they were going to be completely start over, start from scratch. Here's how we're going to run. We're going to play offense. Here's the language we're going to speak. The positive here is that language is going to stay pretty consistent. So your entire offensive unit is going to be able to pick up, really should, pretty quickly be able to pick up where they left off with Bobby Slowick. So, you know, there are absolutely some positives that allow being a guy that'll take an offensive coordinator job, keep the same language, and allow them, the organization, to keep the continuity by keeping the Gerard Johnsons and Bill Lazors and Ben McDaniels and all these other position coaches. That there's definitely some positive in that. So, you know, Nick is, I'm just not real excited about the hire, but Nick Caley is there are definitely some positives with him being the guy.
Yeah. To me, when I look at this is one, you do like guys that have been in multiple systems, who've been able to be in part of multiple systems that have had success. And if you look at Nick Caley's history, he you know, came out in the NFL immediately with the Patriots, and this is what the Patriots doing during good years with Tom Brady, even through the years where they did some things with Mac Jones and did some things with Cam Newton where it was like, all right, there's some things under Josh McDaniels. He's been able to do that. And then the last 2 years in that system with Sean McVay, you know, I think that's a positive thing to say, all right, he's able to do multiple things. And I know a big thing that many people have had issues with is, all right, you know, adjustments. All right, adjustments here, adjustments there. Although sometimes I think people are just saying stuff that became a narrative. But adjustments here, adjustments there. All right, well, he's pulled from multiple different systems that he's been around, and maybe there are more more ways that he can shift and change and adjust that maybe Bobby Slowick, who's just been in one system, hasn't been able to do. So I think those are potential positives to me, Clint. But we all know, like, all those positives, there are two major positives he needs to have, Clint, and that is, how do you fix the massive issue that was bad Bobby Slowick's first year that then became absolutely, at times, undoable with this offense, and that's the offensive line. And how do you, and obviously some of this is hand in hand, but how do you get the confidence of C.J. Stroud back up? How do you get to those? Those two things are things that better be positives and things that he better excel at.
Well, look, I'll be honest. I think you said it right earlier. The most important thing is fixing C.J. Stroud, but fixing C.J. Stroud is a byproduct of fixing four or five different things, right? And I'm telling you, when it's this widespread, I think it has as much to do with the head coach as it does the offensive coordinator. Now, we'll see if the different offensive coordinator helps it. But when you look up and you've got, you know, an offensive line that week after week and all year long can't figure out how to basic slide protect and give your quarterback a chance. They can't figure out how to protect versus a basic defensive tackle, defensive end twist, which those are used for a reason. They're effective, but the Texans just got destroyed with it, right? When you look at receivers that can't run routes the right depth and clearly on different pages throughout the season in critical moments, Dan Orlovsky pointed out all the details that just are overlooked and the mistakes that are in the Texans film week in, week out. Like, to me, we sit here and say, if all those other positions are coached better, then your quarterback plays better. Yes. I believe that you got to practice better. I believe that you got to be held accountable on a snap-to-snap basis in practice, and you got to change what is being allowed to guys to get away with. No more, short weeks in the NFL – like, I really, it sticks out like a sore thumb. We start talking about these things to me, man. Like, the whole Nick Caserio comment about when we practice, we're really good. And then, you know, coming back and the whole thought of, oh, well, you know, what I really meant was when we have a full week of practice. Like, man, I get it. There's a conversation for everybody in this building to have about, you know, the short week and it's hard to recover and what do the stats look like and what do the advanced stats tell you and recovery for these guys and yada yada. I understand. I don't want my team's practice to depend on a short week or not. Like, well, that's part of the NFL is you're going to have to deal with short weeks, right? You're going to have to deal with short weeks. Is it ideal? No. But like the thought that we look back and are referencing, boy, when we practice, we are really, really good. No, I mean, that's the standard should be the standard all the time. And you do whatever you got to do to prepare the football team to play, whether it's a short week or a long week. And so I think they got to change what's been accepted on the offensive side of the football, what's been allowed on the offensive side of the football. And I think that changes the game for Houston immediately. Whether it's D'Amico Ryan, I think it's a D'Amico Ryan's problem, and he's got to fix it. But maybe Nick Caley is the guy that comes in and changes the game for him. But somehow, some way, that's got to get done, Ryan.
Yep, text line coming through. I love this hire. And as I said, there are many people on different sides. This right here, previous text right before the I love this hire, is I don't want to judge too quickly, but this Nick Caley hire feels like a lateral move. If they were going to hire someone without play calling experience, why not just hire Jerod Johnson? He is at least familiar with CJ. And listen, we'll talk about that as, you know, as we kind of move on and finish up the show today. What are the next moves? What does this mean for the coaching staff? That's something coming up as well. But that is the latest there. As we said, there are some things that he brings to the table that could really, really get people excited. We'll see if he's able to pull those things off as he is. Nick Caley, the new guy.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint, another thing. We've been watching the when is the OC position going to be solved. The other thing in the city, Clint, is we know the NBA a trade deadline ends on Thursday. So that means for a lot of teams, and obviously over the weekend we saw a huge move between the Dallas Mavericks and the L.A. Lakers, sending Luka Doncic from the Mavericks to the Lakers for Anthony Davis and other things. But those were the main headline moves in that deal. This coming out, Clint, from the Golden State Warriors, and I know you're cracking up looking at this too, Chris. The Warriors are legitimately, according to Sham Sharania, the Warriors are legitimately calling about every all-star player around. Just name the all-star player: LeBron, Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, any of them.
Well, one of those is available.
The Warriors are going. Well, Jimmy Butler has come out and said he is not going to sign long-term with the Warriors, so that might be it. We're only hearing he will only sign long-term with Phoenix, is what Jimmy Butler is saying. But apparently, according to Shams, the Warriors are dead set on adding an all-star to pair with Steph Curry. So this thing is going to be crazy. To me, when you see LeBron, that's a name that's been brought up since the trade. To me, like, it makes more sense for LeBron to stay and play. To me, I understand how Curry and him, but to me, with Luka, like, Luka to me is the better player right now. I love Steph, but right now, Luka's the better player, and I do think they can figure it out. Like, if I'm LeBron, who I think can probably try to force moves or do whatever he wants, the Warriors wouldn't make me want to bounce over the situation with Luka and what they could potentially do with the Lakers right now. So,
what that would?
I know a lot of fans want to see it.
I like the thought that it could potentially happen just from a basketball perspective.
We saw it. We saw it at Team USA.
But it would just be, I don't know, man. Because I know Golden State is highly respected, but something about Bron with Luka right there.
Oh, yeah.
Going to the Golden State Warriors would be – I just can't see it. Like, going from the Lakers to the Warriors?
Yeah, not for me. Yeah, I mean, anything.
Forget the basketball. I'm just talking about the brand side of it.
Yeah, to me, the Lakers is where he wants to live, and everything that he's doing outside of basketball makes a lot of sense to stay there, but – To me, the Luka thing, I want to see that out. That is something that I would much rather see out than LeBron just, you know, hey, man, we're going to get old guys coming together. We'll see. I don't know if the Warriors are going to land. It looks like they are willing to give up anybody. So we'll see who the Warriors pick up. But to me, yeah, that like LeBron chill. To me, it's a double. It's a not a double edged sword, but you're killing two birds with one stone. It's one. I'm intrigued to see what Luka and LeBron looks.
Hell yeah.
And two, I think for the future of the game, with some of the issues that the Mavericks have brought up about Luka, which are real, like, hey, man, is he taking care of his body the best way he can? I don't think there's a better player for him to sit maybe the next year or two with and watch. And LeBron will do it. Like, LeBron will make him. Like, he'll try to make him. Like, we saw what he's done with Dave. To have him as a person that he can sit up and watch to see what it means to take care of your body the way he has, I think that would be great for the future of the league with a guy like Luka too.
Yeah, that is interesting. You talk about like how sweet LA's sitting, assuming that they can get another big somewhere along the way before what, Thursday?
Yeah.
But you're right, man. Like the Lakers, you go get a 25-year-old superstar, and he doesn't need to be the alpha in the building. He doesn't need to set the standard. You're not worried about him bringing with his lack of accountability and inability to take care of himself and keep himself in shape. You don't worry about him dragging down young guys with him or dragging down other players with him because LeBron's there and he ain't moving the needle in that department when LeBron's around. So, and to your point, LeBron actually rubbing off on him and getting him right for the future of the Lakers with Luka. That's a pretty sweet deal for the. LA Lakers.
Yeah,
man.
The Lakers and the league got him in that spot. So we'll see. We'll see how this thing and unfolds the next couple of days. It looks like the Warriors. I mean, you come out, they're just letting it be known. We want whatever we can get.
5 o'clock fire.
All right. Speaking of trades, this happened earlier in the day, Clint. Myles Garrett, the Cleveland Browns defensive end, arguably the best defensive player in the game. He is actually currently the reigning defensive player of the year right now. He's made a request to be traded. He wants to move on from Cleveland. He has been there a while, and I think Myles Garrett has clearly reached a point where he is over it and is ready to make the next move and turn the chapter away from the Cleveland Browns. Listen, I know some people aren't fans of players – hey, finishing out their contract. You signed a contract doing all this.
Yep.
Hey, I'm sorry. I got no problems. No problems at all with this. And I hope Myles Garrett gets the hell out of Cleveland because that situation with Deshaun, with some of that stuff, I would love to see him in big games.
Yeah.
It feels like JJ a little bit to me where it's just like that dude's a talent. You'd love to see him. Have a shot to be a bigger game.
Right. For me, this is Saquon Barkley 2.0 for me. I mean, look, he's given his all in that organization. It is as dysfunctional as it was when he got there. There's no way when they're handcuffed by Deshaun Watson's contract and others there that they're going to be able to build around Myles Garrett and actually give him something that they can move the needle and win in the AFC. It's just not going to happen. And so I want to see Myles Garrett in a different uniform before it's too late. I don't knock Myles Garrett for one second for wanting out, to be completely honest with you, Cleveland ought to tip the cap and let him move, help him move, do everything they can to move him. I really, with Deshaun,
but what can they do to say, hey man, we're going to entice you to want to stay?
Yeah, there's nothing. They're handcuffed. There's nothing they can do. I mean, they can fake their way through it, sure. I mean, but at the end of the day, it's the same old there with less money, with the Deshaun Watson situation. You're a year, 2 years, you're 2 years removed from even having an opportunity to be taken serious. Flip him for some first round draft picks and keep this thing and rebuild, try to rebuild your organization. Meanwhile, all of us NFL fans out here can watch Myles Garrett do his thing in another uniform.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's nothing that Cleveland can do where you're like, all right, he's looking up there saying, yeah, man, how long is it going to take before we deal with that Baltimore team? How long is it going to take before we deal with that Cincinnati team that was down? He's like, Cincinnati couldn't make the playoffs with the dudes they got, you know, in Pittsburgh and stuff like that. So I'm with you. I know there are probably some NFC teams that are licking their chops to try to get to him. And Detroit, you could think of those teams, maybe some AFC teams that got to pay a bigger price. But there are some teams that, like, what could, I mean, and to me, the Browns, it would make sense because what you could get back.
Yep.
Like you can get obvious at least two first round picks. That's just where it starts. I mean, you know, obviously he's probably not going to get the quarterback stuff like Deshaun got, but at least two more first round picks and more. So I think it's a move that both parties should probably make.
You could move him and over the next two drafts have the draft capital for 2 years to when your quarterback comes up to make a serious move for the number one overall pick or whatever pick you need to jump to get the quarterback that you need.
Yep.
I mean that's where you're at. Or you can drag your feet with his contract, you can drag your feet that trying to get out from underneath Deshaun Watson's contract. And hopefully you throw something together. But life in that division is already a monster. Being handcuffed is a hard way to live, man.
Yep.
And they are handcuffed.
They are handcuffed. All right, as we continue, it's the process, folks. It's the process. We'll talk about the process of how the Texans got to their new OC. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value plus CRV. Limit 3 free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit 2 packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit 4 items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yuengling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
That gentleman who just came out. Like we've known each other for years.
He mistook you.
He stopped, came out of his path to come over here. I went with it, you know, because we about to get on the air, but I ain't never seen that brother day in my life. I'm going to just be honest with you.
You sure?
Yeah, just going to be honest with you. Never seen him.
I'm going to be real. I thought it was like one of them bruh type of things, so I was getting ready to shake his hand too.
Thought, and then when he stopped, it didn't go nowhere else.
Oh, I thought it was a black thing. I'm gonna be honest, man. I was like, man, so he's just gonna dap up all the brothers because you didn't look like you knew him. I know I didn't know him, But he had dreadlocks. Yeah, I just figured there was some kind of kinship that was finna happen there.
I didn't know. Yeah.
Me neither.
Maybe a cousin. I don't know. I didn't have it. I didn't have it. But, hey, man, I shake everybody up.
You're a friendly guy, man. That's what happens. Look, when you buy expensive underwear, man, folks know it, man.
Came back to the draws.
I guarantee he ain't wearing no cheap draws. He said, there's one of them old nice draw brother right there.
He walked in, he said, look at Thunder Thighs.
Bruh said, he got to have on some good draws. Bruh said, where's that friction coming from?
It just, that static just drew him over here, didn't it?
He said, God, I'm trying to walk straight, but damn, I can't get through. Look at that. Damn, is that a dryer? God, dog, just pull me in.
That's funny. That's good. That's
all right, yeah, that was good. All right, as we are covering the big story here, Nick Caley, we've talked about it throughout the day, and I'm sure get up in the morning, Payne and Pendergast, 6 a.m., and I'm sure they will talk about it. I can't wait to hear what those two guys have, and you heard briefly from Lopez and Reggie. We'll see what more they have to say coming up on In the Loop. But to me, the thing that I've noticed, and I think this has been building for you, Clint, and I'm right here with you, that has been building for you, Clint, and I think now it's come to a head now that it's over. It's because so many people are like, hey, Clint, well, who, Clint and Ryan, who is it? Well, who is it that you wanted? Who is the name? Who is the name of these guys you wanted? Yeah. But for you, it has been, you just haven't been thrilled with the process of how they arrived here.
Well, look, I think this is the worst case scenario for me in terms of the process, right? Like, if you fire Bobby Slowick and you immediately say, hey, man, Gerard Johnson's the dude, we're moving him up, we're keeping the terminology the same, we're keeping the chemistry, we're keeping all everything that we got in the building that we built over the last 2 years, it's Gerard's turn, let's go. Right? I could be sold that. But it has more to do than just Gerard Johnson. It has to do with your level of commitment, right, and conviction in making that decision. So that would have been solid. Now, you move on from Bobby Slowick and say, hey, Bobby Slowick was not the leader of men that we thought he was. He was not the manager of men that we thought he was. He was not the offensive mind that we thought he was, and we need to do better. Okay, well, I would expect you to then go and interview, right, guys that have pelts on the wall. And again, I don't necessarily want these guys to be hired. I'm just telling you there's multiple guys out there that are former head coaches that are offensive minds that have won Super Bowls that – it would have been nice to see my squad interview. That would have been nice, right? But you don't. That's not an option, right? Instead, we see fire Bobby Slowick. We really don't know what direction. We got some guys we like, but we don't know what direction we're going to go. We're going to interview 8 guys, and these 8 guys are going to be from all over the map. And then we're going to end up – none of them have any experience with the exception of Bill Lazor back in the day and Brian Johnson for a year in Philly. A bunch of inexperienced guys. And we're going to – 2-3 weeks into it, we're going to fall on a guy that ultimately is another Bobby Slowick. You're betting on this guy being something that we've never seen him be yet. He's never done. Right? And so – that, to me, that's the worst-case scenario of how this thing unfolds. You fire Bobby Slowick and ready to move on, and you don't really have a plan.
Don't think this was the plan the way they – like, you don't think Nick Caley was the guy?
I think Nick Caley was on the radar, but I don't think Nick Caley was like, hey, man, this is the route we're going right
you
here.
You don't think as soon as they – because for you, you're like, Bobby Slowick, there should be a plan. You would have thought it would have happened quicker. You don't think it was we're firing Bobby Slowick because we know we want Nick Caley.
No, yeah, I don't think that. Yeah. Yeah, that would be – you're going to fire Bobby Slowick, who, again, I understand didn't do a great job over 2 years, but there's a case to be made that he did a pretty good job with a rookie and a second-year quarterback in statistic-wise, and they won a lot of ball games. Yeah, it's hard for me to think that you'd go, we're going to move on from him, and we're going to go straight into another one.
Text line coming through. Who are these guys with experience you speak of?
Well, Mike McCarthy, Doug Peterson, Shaw that just went to Detroit. Obviously interested in getting at the NFL level.
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly would be one of them. Yeah,
Clint Kubiak was there. You go. I mean, an OC last year with the Saints.
Yeah, they're looking. And again, I'm not saying that those guys are great candidates. I think a big part of this is if you're going to move on from Bobby Slowick, you got to know who's out there and what's available, right? It's clear that that was never on their radar, and they never even wanted to go that direction.
It started with moving on from Bobby Slowick.
Yeah, it started with moving on from Bobby Slowick, and then it quickly leans into guys that ultimately look at Bobby. I mean, I'm sorry, not Bobby. Look at D'Amico. You look at Nick, and I think they want to be involved in the overall offensive product. I will be shocked if Nick Caley hires his offensive staff. I'll be shocked if this is one of those, like, all right, Nick, it's your turn. You've never done it before. Never had the title. But, hey, we want you to come here, call plays, give you the title, and you're going to hire the staff. It just doesn't strike me as one of those hires. And so, to me personally, it's I'm just not a – this is worst-case scenario how this thing all unfolded for me. Like I said, I could have got Gerard Johnson the day after you fired Bobby Slowick. Boom, this is the route we're going. CJ's got a great relationship with CJ, yada, yada, yada. Feel great about it, been in the building with him, know the kind of offensive mind that he is. I could get behind it. This is wait and see for me, man.
Yeah, I think for me the only issue I had, because – I get you. Maybe it wasn't Nick Caley, but I think the plan was someone young, somebody that could be the next Kevin O'Connell, the next, you know, Mike McDaniel, the next guy that's probably in one of these systems that we trust. Somebody young, because that's everything that they kept interviewing. Somebody young, something like that, that we could feel that we're bringing in to be the next. Very similar, I guess, to Bobby Slowick. I think that's what they're – so I think that was the plan. I don't know if they definitively, when they fired Bobby, had the guy, and it was Nick. That was the plan. For me, the only thing is for me is just – I just think you're in a situation where I think you should at least – if you don't interview the top two candidates, and I think the top two candidates were Clint Kubiak and Chip Kelly. If you don't at least sit down and talk with them for whatever reason, yes, maybe you weren't going to pay $6 million. But to me, that's not going to stop. Like, you know, I do wish in high school, Clint, that, hey, I knew I wanted to be in broadcasting. And just to say, no, I'm not going to go to Syracuse because I just know it's going to be expensive. I'm not even going to try it. No, I mean, it's the best school. It's where I should at least see what it's about. Mm-hmm. And to see if there's something that could be done. That's my only issue is, do you want to get with Nick Caley? Sure, I could see that. If you look at the other coordinators that have been hired in this cycle, a lot of them are young guys. That's fine. It's, to me, I just, if you have all of the assets, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, you know, Joe Mixon, and hey, some people really like Laremy Tunsil as an asset. If you have all those assets, the thought would be, well, hell, man, you can run a role on anybody you want. How about we at least just talk to the top two candidates, right? At least just talk to them, or what many people view as the top two candidates. The way you did when you hired D'Amico, the way you did. You talked to Sean Payton. And don't get me the deal of, all right, well, maybe they did talk to him. Well, hell, then it would be stupid if they talked to Chip Kelly and they didn't let that come out. Why would they hide it? They talked about 7-8 other guys that they talked to. Why would Chip Kelly be the one that they'd be hiding? So, to me, it's that's just my only gripe is you didn't even talk to these other two guys, and it's clear that it wasn't just a we know who we want because you interviewed 7-8 dudes. Why wouldn't you just sit and talk to those guys? So that's the only gripe I have. Good luck to him, and I do. I hope he works. As I said earlier, surely because I do. Many of you have your thoughts. I'm a fan of the game. I want to see C.J. Stroud be at his best. I enjoyed watching him day in and day out that first year, and hell, even at times this year, to know what he could be. I want to see another great quarterback. I want to see C.J. involved in these, you know, hey, are these matchups? Who's next? So I hope he does work out. But I just say, it's an odd thing to me. Go out here and bring him in and then, you know, and not talk to all of the top candidates. That's just my thought on it, my only thing that I had issues with. All right, coming up as we continue, finish this thing out, we haven't talked about why we're here yet, the Super Bowl. And we'll also get into do we got him, Chris? Chris got his best bets. Here we go. He's got his best bets tonight. Oh yeah, Chris ain't dying on this hill. He's got him for Monday. He had a pretty good Friday. We'll go over that, but we'll get to T Mill's best bets by way of Chris Santiago. And this is the thought: would it be an upset to you if the Eagles stopped the Chiefs in their three-peat attempt? Would it be an upset to you if the Eagles won coming up on Sunday? We'll discuss that next.
Live from New Orleans, Flight by Yuengling presents Sports Radio 610 on Radio Row. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's been a fun first day here on Radio Row. We'll be here all week long. Shout out again to our good friends Flight by Yuengling, who have taken care of us, not just back at the place, but taking care of us here as well. And all of our sponsors, Exclusive Furniture, Low T Center, as well as Mocarum Injury Lawyers, who have helped us bring you Radio Row. And we will continue to do so all week long. As we said, be ready for Payne and Pendergast in the morning, in the loop behind that, and then we'll come back again tomorrow. All right, before we get to T-Mill's best bets by way of young Chris Santiago, what we're here for, Super Bowl, and we'll have multiple conversations throughout the week leading into this big game. But we're here to kind of talk about this all week long. And I threw this out in the tease before we left. If the Eagles win this game on Sunday, obviously right now not a huge favorite, but the Chiefs are technically favored right now in this game, as they are a 1.5-point favorite that has been holding since the game was announced. Would it be an upset, though, to you? Would you count it as an upset if they came in here and stopped the Chiefs from three-peating on Sunday?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think and it usually works out this way with the playoff system in the league. But I mean, we've got clearly the best two teams that the NFL can offer facing off this weekend, this Sunday. I would argue that the Eagles, they're the better team on paper.
Yeah, they got. I think they got better talent.
I think you look around at kind of the ways that they can attack you with Saquon Barkley in a run game and AJ Green in a pass game, and then the defense has been really, really good. You can argue that schematically and kind of the ability to counterpunch you. You can argue that Philly, on a good day, is better than what Kansas City is right now offensively. But then the factor comes in is you got Andy Reid, you got Pat Mahomes. It's hard to bet against them two cats right there, Ron. It's hard to bet against them two. So I don't think it would be an upset. I mean, you look up, if Jalen Hurts and his performance in the last Super Bowl, I mean, I know the MVP doesn't go to a losing quarterback, but I mean, that's one of them games where you could at least consider it, given how he played in particular, the numbers he put up.
The first Super Bowl they played. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah, so, I mean, for him to come out and play great again wouldn't be a shock. So, yeah, no, I don't think it would be an upset either way at this point.
Well, how different is Jalen now from that year? Because that year he finished second in the MVP. He was, I think, the leader before he got injured late in the year, and he had to miss 3 or 4 games. And – like you said, I would even argue more than Tom, who beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I don't think there's been a quarterback that has faced Mahomes that has played better than Jalen.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the toughest the quarterback matchup he's had when you look at, Purdy, and you look at the first 49ers quarterback whose name is Jimmy Garoppolo. And then you look at, like I said, Purdy last year, and Tom, and then Jalen. I think Jalen's been the best quarterback that's given the Chiefs the most.
Definitely in that game it was. Yep. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah, I don't see it being an upset either way. I think the only upset is if one, because the defenses are so good, if one offense falls apart and turns it over. No, falls apart and turns it over and makes this, you know, just like, and I don't expect the Chiefs to do it, obviously, but the way that, you know, the Washington Commanders fell apart last week and allowed the Eagles to go score 55 points. I mean, that would be the only thing that would be upsetting, is if some kind of, and it can happen, but if some kind of swing of three or four turnovers turns the game into a lopsided game, that'd be the only upset that I could see happening. But upset-wise, no. I think either one of these teams, whoever wins, man, it's going to be a hell of a story.
Yeah, these are two pretty close teams. I would say that from the text line, hard to bet against the refs. Upset. It'd be an upset because the refs are on the Chiefs' side. There you go. It went, guys. There it is. Hard to beat them both. By the way, the commissioner addressed that today, called it ridiculous. I'm not surprised that he would say that, but I just throw that out there because obviously the Chiefs have won back-to-back Super Bowls. They have been here, but upsets are hard because all their games are close. I think there are a lot of people, and I think I probably fall in this camp. Like, it just feels like, Clint, that the Chiefs are just a team that, in some way, however you feel, find a way to be on top.
Like, well, yeah.
They just seem to, like, and it would almost, in a way, be a surprise a bit that, oh, they actually lost. Because they just seem to find a way to make the plays that their opponents don't make. However you feel they do it, make plays. So it is a bit of a surprise from that standpoint on, yeah. Like, hey, it's just, hey, okay, they actually lost. They actually lost this thing. So, but it'll be a great game all week. We will have that here from you. We'll hear from a lot of people discussing the game, talking about the game. We'll get you again. Stay with us. Figgy's doing a great job. B. Scott also at it. Stay with us on our social media channel, Sports Radio 610. On Twitter, Instagram, however you can find us, as you'll see a lot of content here this week from the Superdome, from all over the place here as we continue to ride through. Coming up behind us, remember, again, as I said, we will get to the best bets here, T-Mill's best bets by way of Chris Santiago. But behind us, Area 45, the fellas tonight, I'm sure they will give their take and discuss Nick Cayley. I would assume these guys are through the roof by the hire.
Who's that?
I would assume that Sean Bajani and Patrick Creighton probably feel good about the hire.
I don't think PC does.
You don't think?
I saw PC on social media.
What did he say? PC didn't love it?
He don't love it, man.
I would just assume. I would have just assumed. What did PC say?
He phrased it in a friendly way.
He did, okay.
But, you know, basically.
Wasn't his first choice?
I could see where you'd be disappointed in this.
I'm not disappointed.
Bajani said you're a delusional idiot.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure Bajani did. He probably did say that. You're delusional too, Bashan. So, right back at you. I love you. I love you, but you got some delusions in you, too. I can't wait to hear it. I'll listen. You should listen as well. Area 45 coming up. PC, I apologize. Hell, maybe really listen. I just assume. It'd be a feel-good thing. Hell, anything but Bobby.
We'll see if he's as aggressive on this hire as your take.
Well, one thing, even though.
Your CJ Stroud take.
Oh, well, I don't know if it'd be that aggressive. I'm going to say one thing about Patrick, I think you'll know where he stands. I don't think he'll mince any words. I think you'll know where he stands. And also, I'd say that about Sean Bajani, too. And I feel like I think I know where he stands. So we'll see about that. Make sure you stay tuned. Guys are great every night, 6 to 10, Area 45. Stay tuned for the guys as they will take you home this evening. All right, let's do it. Best bets as Tyler again. Tyler is really finishing off this last day, this last night, as he has started to send us a lot more content that we cannot use on the air, but he is having himself a good time. He will be back soon joining us. But in honor of T-Mill and his best bets, you did pretty good Friday, Chris. I see you got 3 or 4. Where are you today? What are your best bets as we roll into this this Monday? Get the people started off in a good foot.
All right. So if you tell me on Friday, I hit on 3 of my 4 picks. So today, Monday, I have Rockets plus 6.5 versus the Knicks. How you feel about that one?
Okay. What's going on with Şengün? He's out again. Fred's out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, I don't know if I like that. And the Knicks are coming off getting their ass kicked by Anthony Davis-less Lakers team, and it's in New York. I don't know if I love that, but hey, do your thing.
And then my next pick's gonna be Pistons money line versus the Hawks.
I like that. The Pistons, they've been rolling, man. Mm-hmm. Hey, they're in the playoffs right now. They're in the play-in. They got a winning record, 25-24. I like what they've been doing. Go ahead.
My next
That's cool.
one is,
I like that one.
All right, good. And then my next one's Anthony Edwards over 3.5 threes versus the Sacramento Kings.
Well, I know he's going to take 11.
I'm certain
Anthony Edwards is going to get up 8 to 11 threes in this game. And it's the Kings, probably up and down tempo. The Kings just lost De'Aaron Fox. We'll see where they are. I like it. I can do with that.
And then my next one, I'm going back to this one. I know he didn't hit last time, but it's Banchero over 22.5 points versus the Warriors.
It sounds right. It sounds good. You just mess with the game. What did he get you, 21 last time you did this?
Mm-hmm.
And they lost
to the Trailblazers that game. So it was like a blowout somewhat. So I'm not really too worried. I think he gets it done today.
All right, what else you got?
And then I got Devin Booker over 27.5 points. And the reason why I'm taking this is because he's 23 points away from surpassing Walter Davis to become the Suns' all-time leading scorer.
Have we reached that? Devin Booker is approaching becoming the Suns' all-time leading scorer? We've arrived there?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus. I guess I can't think of a son that was there for a long, long time. I guess maybe Kevin Johnson. That's what I would. I don't know. I wouldn't have had Walter Davis as being the guy who was their all-time scorer. But that's not a bad one. The Trailblazers are awful. So, that's not a bad thought. And the last time they played, they just played each other, and the Blazers kind of blew them out. So
yep.
You could see them getting back and Devin trying to get busy. I'll be honest with you. I think all of these are pretty good except for this Rockets one. I don't know about that one. We'll see what happens there because the Knicks are, of course, they need to play better after their last game, and you're going without your starting point guard and without your all-star Şengün. So I don't know about that one. Hopefully you're right. Hopefully they can continue to get back on it because the Rockets are on a bit of a kind of a slide here.
Yeah.
They lost to the Nets here recently, and nobody wants to lose at home to the damn Brooklyn Nets and not the way they lost to them. So hopefully they get back on it. I like them all except for that Rockets one. So
we'll find out tomorrow.
Getting 6.5? Sneak by that one.
I don't know,
you
man.
You see, that's what I'm saying. Rockets should keep it within 6.5, man. That's the only reason why I'm taking it.
With them two, both them guys out.
Trust.
I don't know. All right, you feeling
big,
good
big
about
trust.
It? Big trust, huh? Man, my man just finished it off with trust.
Yeah.
Trust. Yeah. Wow, I didn't know Devin Booker was that close to the thing doing that. That is interesting as hell. Again, coming up behind us, Area 45, should be a good time. We'll be at it tomorrow. Make sure you are rolling in the morning, in the early morning, as Payne and Pendergast will have you at 6 o'clock and roll through there. I can't wait to hear their thoughts on the new hire, Nick Cayley. He is the guy. We'll have some more thoughts on this because – I think we're starting to figure this thing out. More you dig in this thing, it feels like you can tell maybe the direction of how they got to Nick Cayley. We'll discuss more of that tomorrow as well. Chris, great job back there. Aaron, great job. Figgy, great job. Brandon Scott, Parker, great job. Everybody that was held us down all day long. Clint, great job as usual. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 o'clock. Get up for Payne and Pendergast in the morning. Behind us, coming up as soon as we get done, Area 45. I am Ron, the show, as always, Houston. We love you, baby. When show walks, he creates static.
There ain't no doubt.
Kiss my ass off.
Hey, guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.